Earth's journey complete. Sacrifice marks the day. Feeble earth as a spread. Lights the believer's way. Feeble earth as a spread. Lights the believer's way.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome back dear viewers, alhamdulillah, to this special transmission on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, subhanallah. The name of the silsila is the Festival of Sacrifice, and inshallah azza wa jal, in today's episode and program we are going to discuss the wisdom of sacrifice. Yes, why do we sacrifice in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the wisdom behind it? We are going to learn the Quranic wisdom, the wisdom of the hadith, the wisdom from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as well as the actions of our pious predecessors and their numerous accounts. Alhamdulillah, I'm again delighted and fortunate enough to be joined by the Muballighin of Dawat-e-Islami, Mawlana Naushad Madani, as well as Mawlana Ziyad Madani, Hafizahum Allah, Subhanallah. And let's inshallah begin with our episode and program with the recitation of Salat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The beloved Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So let's, without further ado, recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah. Yes. The wisdom of sacrifice, the wisdom of qurbani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all this sense and wisdom of qurbani, sacrificing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the path of Allah azza wa jal, not only the qurbani animals, but our nafs, our money, our assets, even our life, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the time calls for it. And we are tested in various different ways to give that which is beloved to us, which is dear to us, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were, alhamdulillah, those pious predecessors, the beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who excelled in this test. When they were tested, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was tested to do qurbani or to sacrifice his life in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the pleasure of Allah, he gladly embraced the fire. He was thrown in the fire of Namrud. And even at that time, his reliance on Allah was so high that Angel Jibreel comes by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alayhi salam, and he asks, "Is there any way I can help you? Do you need anything?" Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam turns back to him and says, "My Rabb Azza wa Jal knows, and it is sufficient that he knows, subhanallah." And what happened? What was the end result? That the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which nature is to burn, the same creation which we call fire, it turns into coolness for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. It became a safe haven for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the poet says very beautifully that it is not specific to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that the circumstances were changed. The miracle was displayed. Why? Because he sacrificed himself for the sake of Allah. He says that, "Aaj bhi ho jo Ibrahim sa ima paida." Even if today one can have the iman of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the fire can still be cool for you. Aag kar sakti hai andaze gulista paida. Alhamdulillah, these are the times when we get to revive and practice the teachings and the sentiments of the pious predecessors, subhanallah. And they were Anbiya of Allah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the pious predecessors, subhanallah, awliya Allah, the way they have taught to us. the sense of sacrifice, the sense of qurbani. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's learn some of the beautiful accounts of the qurbanis and the sacrifices of our pious predecessors from our Mawlana Naushad Sahib. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, I should turn to you and listen to some of the accounts of our pious predecessors of qurbani and offering sacrifice in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Well, Mawlana Sahib, alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are several wisdoms of qurbani according to what our limited understanding can understand. Of course, the true wisdoms are known to Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take for example, you mentioned about the great sacrifices of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, the great test that he went through, and of Ismail alayhi salam. If we want to see what tests are all about, let us look at their life. If we want to see that overflowing mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, look at the incident of that qurbani, of that sacrifice. And furthermore, if you want to see how great and immense rewards are in store for a person, we can see this in so many narrations. We can hear this in so many narrations that just for one qurbani, how many rewards are there? Furthermore, if you want to learn how to submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, there's a wisdom here that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, despite all of these tests which he passed fully, but he submitted to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nabi Ismail alayhi salam submitted to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they passed their tests. So we too as Muslims, we are to submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And qurbani and that incident in particular, it teaches us this. We mention these things to derive lessons. There's a beautiful narration that Sayyiduna Ahmad bin Ishaq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he states that his brother, who financially was poor, but he made sure every year he performed a qurbani for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and for thawab, for reward as well. Although financially he had nothing, but he made sure that, you know, to show my dedication, my gratefulness to Allah Azza wa Jal, to submit to him for thawab and for his pleasure, every year without fail, he used to perform a qurbani. When he passed away, then he was seen in a dream. Sayyiduna Ahmad bin Ishaq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi saw him in a dream, and it was judgment day, people were coming out of the graves, and amongst them, he sees his brother. His brother is riding on a spotted horse with many other horses around, and he calls out to his brother and says that, you know, what happened to you? How did Allah Azza wa Jal treat you? And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. He forgave my sins. And Sayyiduna Ahmad bin Ishaq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi asked, for what reason? How, why, and why did he forgive you? What action did you do? And he says that there was one time I gave a dirham, a coin, to a poor old lady. And that deed pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that because of that he forgave my sins.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Amazing. And he says that this spotted ride that I'm on was my very first qurbani. And all these other animals you see with me are all my qurbanis. And then Sayyiduna Ahmad bin Ishaq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, where are you heading off to? He says, we are going to Jannah. We are going to paradise. So think about it. We as well, if we want that special mercies and special blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal to descend upon us, if we have the means, then we must ensure that we perform the qurbani for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and for thawab as well.
Sayyidi, you mentioned that this brother of Sayyidina Ahmad bin Ishaq, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was poor. Despite being poor, he would perform qurbani. Now, a lot of us use our poverty as an excuse. No, I'm not sahib nisab, and so on and so forth. Yes, qurbani is not wajib upon you if you are not sahib nisab, given by the Sharia terminology. But still, if you still want to perform qurbani, then there is no nothing stopping you. Allahu Akbar. Whereas we may allocate these monies sometime that we may have extra monies at the end of the month and waste it away on you know, fun and pleasure. But we should also at the same time think that what if we could allocate these little funds, little savings that we collect and go out, picnic, this and that. What if we could allocate these funds towards Qurbani? Qurbani is once a year.
Definitely. It becomes easier if you create a budget for it. For example, how you know at the end of the month I've got so many expenses, I must take out so much for my water, lights, etc. Imagine if you took out a little bit, like 100 rand for example, our currency, and put it Qurbani. Every month if you're doing this, 200 rand, 100 rand, whatever it is, by the time Qurbani comes 1 year later, I mean, you got maybe sufficient to buy something and to perform that Qurbani to get thawab at least.
I know of one brother who does lift clubs, and he would pick up children, take the children to school. And he said that, you know, I had many clients, many parents that would send their children to school with me. Per trip, maybe a monthly cost, about 600 to 700, roughly around there. And one of the children's lift club money, I would save. Just tuck it in my sun visor, you know. And that became my Qurbani money, subhanAllah. Every year, I use that money for Qurban.
When there's a will, there's a way.
SubhanAllah. So yes, this is one of the ways, mashallah. And he told me that this is what he would do.
There was an Islamic brother who, here in South Africa, he mentioned to me that I brought sheep to the city, Qurbani animals from the farm to the city. And that once an elderly person came to me. And this elderly person took out a bag of coins. And in South African currency, those coins are not considered very valuable. But this elderly person put a lot of 5 rand coins on the table and emptied out the bags and started to count the 5 rands in order to pay for their qurbani. And this person says that I looked at that and I was so moved by this. Allah gives us so much. And we should readily be prepared to give back in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person took the little savings that they could over a lengthy period of time and put that together to purchase the Qurbani animal. And that person says that I had taken 2 of those 5 rand coins and said, for you, I will sell you your Qurbani animal for 10 rands, which is a very small rate. But the lesson was that how moved he was by the effort that this person put in to sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is an effort that every one of us should put in. We must know that it's not the amount that is meaningful. It is the heart and the efforts and the sacrifices, the spirit of sacrifice that comes in with your qurbani that is so beloved and so wonderful and so accepted, inshallah, azza wa jal, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In fact, that's one of the wisdoms of qurbani is sacrifice. We don't love money. You know, we the normal people, we love money. So imagine sacrificing this in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And even that too, you're still going to enjoy that meat. Unless you give it to Dawud Islami, our Jamia, or you know, any other of our departments where it's needed. But you otherwise, you're allowed to keep all of that meat. You still can enjoy it. But this is one of the key factors of Qurbani, and that is the lessons that we learn from the sacrifices of the pious predecessors.
Alhamdulillah. You know, the qurbanis that we offer, we should actually feel our qurbanis. You know, sometimes we may do our qurbani offshores, you know, maybe in other countries, poorer countries such as, you know, the African countries that are there, that are landlocked countries, where there are a lot of cattle and thus the prices below, way below the cost that it's here in South Africa, such as Malawi and other countries in Southern Africa, alhamdulillah, where the cost of these cattle is much lower than our cost here. And so what some people do, some of us do, is outsource the qurbani. Like from here we pay for the animal and then it's done. But then we don't get that same feel as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, that you must stay near your qurbani. So how are we going to stay near our qurbanis? If that is the case, I mean, if we were going to sacrifice our own children, let's say, with that same token, right? And we should feel that. Then should we be elsewhere doing our own thing while the Qurbani is happening here?
Allah.
So shouldn't it be the case that, you know, we need to be closer to the Qurbani animals, be actively involved there in the process? Because this is not the act of an act of cruelty, as some people, you know, they may assume. Shaitan can put waswasa and make people into thinking that, you know what, this is cruelty against animals and so on and so forth. Animals are being slaughtered throughout the year. Why is it not cruelty every other time? When it comes to qurbani, sacrificing in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan starts to put waswasa in people's head that, you know, it may be cruelty.
He's going to try to put a block there. You mentioned about children. I just reminded me when back in the days when I was staying in Pakistan, and subhanAllah, there's a culture, I'm not sure if it's everywhere there, but in the places that I've seen and I personally experienced, that months before Qurbani, they'll get the animal. I'm talking about 6 months plus. And they'll treat that like a pet. And for some people, their pets are like their children. So, I mean, they'll feed it, they'll, you know, clean it, and they'll get so attached to it. And it happened to me also, because I got a little lamb over there when I was back. And, you know, and you get close to it. You give it a name, and then you make sure these times it gets its meal, its water, it's clean, whatever it is. And then comes Qurbani Day, that you need to sacrifice this little lamb of yours. You feed it, because that attachment grows over that, you know, many months. So, I mean, sacrifice, it's about sacrifice. That's one of the main points of the Qurban itself.
Actually, similar thing happened in my neighborhood. And these people here, this whole household, they had a goat. And it grew with them from a little baby, right? And when it reached the age, now Qurbani time, I think after 2 years, and the whole house is in tears. Allahu Akbar. And they actually see, they have now, they are sacrificing something that they grew very fond of, you know. They shared moments with the goat, and it was like part of their family.
Subhanallah, how beautiful this is. And this is the spirit. The whole spirit of Qurbani, you see, Qurbani itself is very symbolic. We are slaughtering a goat, we are sacrificing a goat or a sheep, or you could sacrifice a larger animal. And you think, okay, my Qurbani is done because the animal is sacrificed. But the sacrifice that we are doing there is actually symbolic for us, that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my creator, O my sustainer, O the one who has given everything to me, whatever is beloved to me, I'm prepared to sacrifice that too for your love. I'm prepared to sacrifice that too for your sake. So as something becomes more fun to you, then it's a greater test, but know that the reward is also greater. So when that animal is being sacrificed, that you have become fond of, now you are really showing yourself. You are telling yourself that, oh myself, oh my nafs, understand that I've grown fond of this. This has become beloved to me. But as this has become beloved to me, and I'm prepared to sacrifice it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing else in my life that can be beloved to me that I'm not prepared to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it be, with one call, with one command, I'm prepared to sacrifice and let it all be sacrificed in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And as it's mentioned that you can never attain piety until you spend in the path of Allah what you love.
Wow, subhanallah.
And, I mean, everybody loves their life, everybody loves their children, their wealth, or whatever they amass. So, yes, that's there in its place.
This is from the du'as as well, and the words of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that is mentioned. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. That indeed my salah, my worship, my nusuk, my sacrifices, وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي and my life and my death, all of them belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, he was telling himself as well, and he's teaching us to tell ourselves as well, that whatever it is that we have, whatever it is that we do, we are prepared to give it all in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the spirit of the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that by means of this qurbani, Allah azza wa jal has kept it alive in our lives as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sayyidi, mashallah, as we have come thus far into our program, and now we should actually listen to a beautiful kalam. It's his time. And mashallah, I would request from our director sahab to please choose a beautiful kalam for us. Beautiful celebration of Eid that is happening around the world, subhanallah. And we are all performing our qurbani in our own various different ways, alhamdulillah, following our Islamic culture, mashallah. So yes, qurbani is a big part of our Islamic culture as well. It is a cultural thing at the same time, inshallah, which we shall discuss just after the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, rehm farma mere maula, rehm farma mere maula, kab guna kanara main karunga ya rab nik kab ae mere allah banunga ya rab kab guna کیا جائے گا میں شاد مروں گا یا رب تیرا کیا جائے گا میں شاد مروں گا یا رب
ہائے معمولی سی گر
sahi ja حشر میں پھر کیسے سہوں گا یا رب، گرمی یہ حشر میں پھر کیسے سہوں گا یا رب، رسوائی کی آفت میں پھنسوں گا یا رب، آہ رسوائی کی آفت میں پھنسوں گا یا رب، کرم کر دے تو جنت میں رہوں گا یا رب، گر کرم کر دے تو جنت میں رہوں گا یا رب گنبد کا بھی دیدار کروں گا یا رب سبز گنبد کا بھی دیدار کروں گا یا رب اذن سے تیرے سرے حشر کہیں کاش حضور اللہ اذن سے حشر کہے کاش حضور ساتھ عطار کو جنت میں رکھوں گا یا رب ساتھ عطار کو جنت
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ویلکم بیک ڈیئر ویورز. یس وی آر ڈسکسنگ دی وزڈم آف قربانی سیکریفائس ان دا کورٹ آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی دا کمانڈ آف قربانی which was given by Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is wajib and obligatory upon us Muslims with a few conditions, that is sahib nisab. And if you want to follow more on it inshallah Azza wa Jal, you can get a booklet from the website of Da'wat Islami regarding qurbani. There are many alhamdulillah books available to guide you through, and if for your particular condition or situation, you can even contact Darul Iftah Ahl Sunnat inshallah Azza wa Jal. So qurbani is obligatory, and it is why we perform qurbani, and inshallah we will continue to do so. Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Holy Quran, whilst giving the command to perform qurbani, he says, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So you should offer salah for your Lord and sacrifice. Therefore, we as Muslims perform qurbani to act upon this divine command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there is a beautiful verse, and there is a mention of this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran which Muhasab has recited, alhamdulillah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say you, O beloved, my salah and my sacrifices and my living and my passing away are all undoubtedly for Allah, who is Lord of all the worlds. Similarly, when the companions alayhim ridwan, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what are these qurbanis? And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied to them, Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, that it is the way of your forefather Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, subhanallah. So yes, in another hadith it is stated that the one who has the ability to perform qurbani and does not carry it out, he should not come near our place of Eid. So yes, we have two Eids, alhamdulillah. The first Eid is Eid al-Fitr, which we have celebrated, mashallah. The second Eid is Eid al-Adha. The person upon whom it was obligatory to perform qurbani, but he hasn't, and he has no intention of doing so, and then that person comes to perform Eid al-Adha Salah, Allahu. But for such a person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has issued a warning that he should not come near our place of Eid. So you must look how serious of a matter this is. In the beautiful ecosystem of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized on it. And the time of Qurbani, as we all know, alhamdulillah, it is from the Fajr of the 10th of Zulhijjah till the sunset of the 12th of Zulhijjah til Haram, subhanallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever is doing Qurbani in your own way, if you're slaughtering the whole camel, subhanallah, mubarak to you. If you are slaughtering a goat, mubarak to you. We are doing everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake and the pleasure of Allah. This is the key point. We shouldn't now lose the focus and be maybe misguided or diverted in some other avenues which will become not a means of Allah's pleasure, but for the pleasure of the nafs. Let's say, for example, a person is buying qurbani, and nowadays it is a trend that whose qurbani animal is the most expensive. My qurbani animal, sometimes a qurbani animal can go up to 1 lakh or 100,000 rupees people buy. Some people can boast and post on social media that, you know, I purchased my qurbani animal for $250,000. Some people can, you know, boast about this qurbani animal, its cost and how beautiful it is and so on and so forth. In doing all of this, we actually are losing the very essence of qurbani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at how much money you have. Are we trying to impress Allah with our money that is given to us by Allah? Allahu Akbar. We cannot do so. And the only way we can please Allah Azza wa Jal is if we spend that same money seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not seeking likes on Facebook. This should be our goal. Having a sense of appreciation in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, that's what we must strive for. Not the comments on Facebook, the comments on Twitter, social media handles. You know, all of this will be forgotten. But the way Allah can repay us, subhanallah, on the day of judgment, as Mawlana Sahib has mentioned, that the brother of Sayyidina Ahmad bin Ishaq, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he was seen riding horse, and that was his first qurbani, subhanallah. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards those who do it solely for his pleasure. So yes, if you are buying expensive animals, subhanallah, and your niyat, again, it all comes down to the intention and the niyat, and your niyat is, subhanallah, that I want to take pride in my qurbani. I want to sacrifice something in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is of value, that is of beauty, that is of perfection. Yes, mashallah, the more you add to it, Madina, Madina, subhanallah, if there is no sense of pride, ostentation, but if there is pride involved in it, so people must see, not that I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, people must see. It shouldn't be the case where we are trying to show off to the people, you know, that the eyes must pop out, you know, look at my animal, my goat or my sheep or my bull that I'm sacrificing or my camel that I'm sacrificing. Look at the magnificence of it. Allahu Akbar. If that is the case, then we lost the plot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity that inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. That should be the sense of sacrifice. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Sayyidi, they are alhamdulillah beautiful narrations, and we would love to hear some of those narrations and hadith of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he has highlighted the virtues of performing qurbani in the court of Allah
subhanallah azza wa jalla. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to perform qurbani, and in our performance of the sacrifice we also receive reward. So this is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that number one, you fulfill the command of Allah azza wa jalla. That is the reward in itself, that Allah has blessed you with the ability plus the tawfiq to fulfill His command and to follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, as our beloved sallallahu alayhi salam has said, that it is the sunnah of our beloved Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam has told us we should perform this as per the command of Allah azza wa jal. Over and above that, there are more rewards as well. So now the question is, okay, if I perform qurbani, how much of reward will I get? Because there are rewards for qurbani, but how much of rewards? Is it a one reward, or is it 10 rewards? It's a day of Eid, maybe it could be 70. How much of rewards do you get for performing qurbani? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and let us listen carefully to this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who performs qurbani of an animal, he sacrifices an animal for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal rewards him with one good deed equivalent to every hair on that animal. One good deed in exchange of every hair on that animal. Now, how are we going to count how many hairs are on that animal? That's it, we can't. If you can't count the hairs on the animal, then be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the opportunity to earn thawab that you are also unable to count. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla.
And I think this is also one of the wisdoms that, you know, it's just another example to show the overflowing mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that He wants to reward. Nobody can stop Him from rewarding. How much He wants to reward. But our duty is that we must do it the correct way with the correct intentions. And as Manasa was saying, that you know, when you're doing it, don't do it for show. Do it, you know, with a clean heart, from clean money. And then you'll see those rewards in this world, the qabr and the akhirah as well. Remember, for an ibadah to be accepted, it must be done with the correct intention, it must be done correctly as well. And you were mentioning that people take pictures and they upload. We're not there to judge people, we need to judge ourselves. Why am I doing that? For what reason? To show, if it's with bad intentions, I should take it down. I should change my intentions. Because even animals can suffer from nazare, but qurbani animals as well. Ulama tell us, don't put your own pictures or your children or whatever on, you know, social media, because you're inviting trouble. So you're putting your animals there, you're possibly inviting trouble as well, that they can be affected by nazar ibad.
Sayyidi, when it comes to putting pictures on social media sites and to just to get likes and, you know, people to comment on it, it can be in various different ways. Let's say, for example, subhanallah, it all depends on the niyat. A person performing salah, nafl salah in the masjid, right? And he could also go home and perform nafl salah, but he chose to do it in the masjid, and his intention is that, you know, I want to perform my nafl salah in the masjid so we can start a trend of doing all rakats of salah. If there are 17 rakats in the isha salah, I must perform all 17 rakats of my salah in the masjid, so others can also follow and get accustomed to reading all the sunnahs, whether it is muakkada or ghair muakkada or nafl salah. So alhamdulillah, it can be one way to encourage people, and alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. Similarly, someone has a mashallah, a mark on their forehead of sajda, and that can also be something virtuous. Subhanallah, there are various different opinions of ulama-i-kiram, but majority are leaning, alhamdulillah, in the sense that it can be a nur, subhanallah, on the day of judgment. And this nur that we have on our forehead can be a seal of devotion, subhanallah, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Similarly, if we are buying animals with our monies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with enough resources, and instead of buying one animal, you are buying five animals, subhanallah, and you are encouraging others in that. We're not showing off, but you are letting others see that, yes, this is how high your sense of sacrifice should be in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, to sacrifice animals and cattle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, it can be a positive thing, as you said.
I see, absolutely. Again, we are not there to judge other people but ourselves. Why am I doing this? What is my intention? This applies to myself and everybody individually. Why am I uploading those pictures on social media? For what reason? If it's to encourage others, that's the intention, there's reward in that. But if it's to show that, you know, look the size of your animal or whatever it is you bought and how many, then of course the intention is not correct. We should correct the intention. But then again, there's a possibility of that Nazribad coming through, because you don't know who's looking at those pictures. Take for example your own personal pictures that you upload. What is the reason for this? To display your happiness to the world? To let people know that, you know, okay, this is how my lifestyle is, and to make wrong assumptions about you? Then we inviting trouble into our lives. Scholars have advised us not to expose your happiness, maybe to that very close-knit circle of yours, your close family, friends. That's the difference. The people you confide in, you trust. But on social media, you have no clue. You have no idea. There could be somebody who's a predator that's looking at your pictures or the pictures of your children. There could be a thief that's on social media waiting for you to go on holiday and put all the pictures up. And there could be somebody that, you know, is childless, desires a child, or doesn't have the ability to purchase an animal for qurbani, and is looking with yours with the wrong intentions. Again, we're not there to judge. The person is there to judge themselves. So rather, save yourself from harm wherever you're able to. And if you have good intentions, then of course, do it for the pleasure of Allah.
Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our intentions. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. This is something virtuous we are doing. There is no place for evil here, inshallah azza wa jal. So if there is any evil intention that comes in, shun it away, subhanallah. We are doing it for the sake of Allah. There is no room for anything else. Subhanallah azza wa jal. And mashallah, wasab, as just before the kalam, we mentioned that we are going to explore a little bit how qurbani, alhamdulillah, is part of our Muslim culture and heritage, mashallah. In some places, it is celebrated with much zeal and enthusiasm, such as, you know, some places may decorate the animals, the camels especially. You know, they will put some makeup or something, or some mashallah embellishments, you know, on their heads, and decorate it nicely, put some covering on it. Have you seen those spectacles, mashallah?
Mashallah, yes, we've seen that as well, alhamdulillah. Different places have different cultures, and they attach their cultures to the qurbani as well. As long as it's not contrary to the Sharia, there isn't a problem in it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, provided it's not causing any harm to the animal, nor is it removing or causing us to move away from the Sunnah of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you find in different places to express the joy on the occasion of Qurbani. And sometimes it's even to attract the children to also partake in this festival of Qurbani. One of the fears I had and have been mentioned as well by our elders and elderly, that, you know, nowadays we've become so used to doing qurbani afar by us just sending an amount, transferring, we call it EFTing, an amount, an electronic transfer of an amount of money, and the qurbani gets done. Now, there isn't anything bad or wrong with it, alhamdulillah. However, to some extent, we need to keep the spirit of that qurbani alive so that our children can also be part of it and see it. It would be sad if our children or grandchildren at some point have never seen a qurbani animal being slaughtered, the qurbani taking place in front of their eyes. Thus, it's important to attract the children and to get them to become part of the entire qurbani sacrifice and celebration. So with this niyat too, people sometimes put a garland around the animal. They might decorate the animal in some way. Of course, when we say makeup, it's not lipstick and eyeliner for the animal. It's other forms of decoration. Perhaps it's flowers or it's something colorful that is put over the animal. So alhamdulillah, children tend to come around, they tend to become close to that animal as well. And when that animal is sacrificed as well, now we may think, if the children became close to the animal and the animal is sacrificed, they may feel a little difficulty in their heart, they may shed a few tears as well. And shouldn't we avoid that? Actually, that's what we do not want to avoid. That is good. That is beautiful. If our children are feeling closeness to the animal that we are sacrificing, and then that animal is sacrificed, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the opportunity to also instill the spirit of qurbani in the hearts of our children. To show them, because they will remember that one day, that this has become beloved to me, and I've given it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the call is there to give up something else, which is also beloved to them, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will remember this sort of incident and say again, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Oh my Allah, I'm present. I'm present to sacrifice and to give anything up for your sake, for your pleasure.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, jazakallah, Sayyidi, mashallah. And we should actually make our children, the entire family must actually partake in the qurbani celebration, subhanallah, the occasion of qurbani as such, wherever the qurbani is taking place. Sometimes, you know, if you have a large family, right, and mashallah, you have a big family, like in Durban, for example, some part of your family, they are staying in Chatsworth area, some part of your family, they are staying in Phoenix area, some are in Overport, and consensually we discuss right among the families, okay, where we're doing our qurbani this year, okay, we choose one spot, somebody's house, that is big, they got a big, big yard, subhanallah, and if it can be done properly, neat and clean, and this way also it creates an opportunity for the families to come together.
Yes.
MashaAllah. And also for the entire family to have a family time and at the same time witness the qurbani with their own eyes and get to partake in the qurbani, and there is a helping hand there as well. You know, family members coming to help skinning the animals. I mean, it's not easy at times, right? If, especially if the person is not experienced doing the qurbani for the first time. And mashallah, there are elders also present there that can, you know, give you a helping hand, or that can benefit you with the wisdom, subhanallah, because they have seen it all, subhanallah. So they are there to guide the youngster, the younger generation. And mashallah, in this way, as we have learned from our elders, and the younger generation, alhamdulillah, can benefit from those elderly in the family, mashallah. Sayyidi, when it comes to the qurbani and the wisdom of qurbani, subhanallah, we can't really go about it without discussing the advent, the first advent of qurbani, that is alhamdulillah remarkable, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to when the sahaba asked, ya Rasulullah, what are these qurbanis? And he said, these are the sunnah of your forefather Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sayyidi, inshallah, we would love to hear the accounts of the qurbani of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, inshallah.
That was the starting point when Jibreel Amin alayhi salam descended and replaced Nabi Ismail alayhi salam with that heavenly ram. That was the starting point. And subhanallah azza wa jal, that tradition, that system has continued till today. And something you all both mentioned is so important, that if we just continue sending our monies overseas, look, if Allah azza wa jal has given you, send overseas. Don't stop this. Don't stop the qurbani here at home with your family, with your children. Because tomorrow, what if your child doesn't know, doesn't want to get involved in those things when they grow big, because they're too squishy and they don't want to see blood of the animal, they don't want to sacrifice, because we didn't teach them, we didn't bring them up with this teaching that, you know, this is the way to do it, this is how for example, skin the animal and to separate it, etc.
The real things in life, let's say, for example. Like, for example, nowadays, the way our children are growing up, if you ask them, where do you get bread from? You know, they don't say, you know, get bread from wheat and it's being crushed and so on and so forth. You get it from supermarket, yeah. Right? Where the potatoes are grown, they can say, no, we get it from this shop. So they don't know. They are totally away from these things. If you don't have garden at home, they'll say, okay, where you get flowers, where you get roses from? You get roses from this shop. So for everything, there is a shop. You know, they become too materialistic. And the qurbani also, how do you get your qurbani done? You get qurbani done by doing FTP. You get the qurbani done by doing an EFT. Because that's the process they have known.
This is a problem, actually, that we are seeing today. And one of the results are that young adults in their 20s, even in their 30s, some of them, that they are not emotionally mature. They are not mentally mature. Physically, they may look mature, but when it comes to emotionally, socially, a social interaction with others, they keep to themselves, they become introverts because of the growing up that is largely taking place. They become too sensitive to matters. They don't want to discuss things. So that's just by the way. But I mean, Qurbani is a good example to use in basically toughening them up, that you know what, this is the reality of life, that you see this animal, tomorrow we're going to be, you know, we're going to leave this world also, and we're going to be down there in the grave. And subhanallah azza wa jal, we need to teach our children these traditions. It must pass on to them so that they can pass it on to the next generation as well.
Truly, the elders, they have strongly advised us to keep the family traditions alive, the Islamic traditions alive, alhamdulillah. And how can we keep it alive? By passing it on to the next generation. So, Sayyidi, and then by the time we finish doing the skinning part and everything, alhamdulillah, breakfast is ready, the whole family will sit down together on one dastarkhan. And we eat it, mashallah. And it is also recommended, mashallah. I've read in one of the books of Maktabatul Madina that that should be the first meal and the breakfast, alhamdulillah. So yes, and that's the beginning of it. And the rest is, as we know, you know, alhamdulillah, the rest of the day is fun-filled. And people are busy distributing the meats, mashallah, giving it to the loved ones, giving it to those poor community of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his ummah, and giving it to those who never had the opportunity to do qurbani, and making them also part of our qurbani, mashallah. So, Sayyidi, alhamdulillah, are there any like hard and fast rules with regards to the distribution of the meat, of the qurbani, and so on and so forth?
There are recommendations that are given with regards to the distribution of the meat of the qurbani. The recommended distribution, the mustahab distribution, is that the meat should be divided into three portions. And of those three portions, one portion should be kept for oneself. Yourself, your immediate family can have of one portion. The second portion should be given to the family. That can include extended family as well. And the third portion should be given to the destitute, to the poor. So in this way, these three portions are made and distributed. And see the hikmah, the beauty in this. Of course, there are many beauties in this. But among the beauties that we see in this is that when we keep one portion, then alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we are also partaking of our qurbani animal. So that is wonderful as well, that you partook in the sacrifice and now you are partaking in part of your reward. I wouldn't say the entire reward, because you have large reward in store for you in the akhirah. Then the distribution to the family, that is strengthening family ties. That's strengthening the bonds between families, that I do qurbani, my family member does qurbani, I've shared some of the meat of my qurbani to that family member, they've shared with me. So subhanallah, what happens? We are giving gifts to each other, isn't it? And that is strengthening our bonds. Then also giving towards the poor. When you give towards the needy, you give towards the poor as well. That subhanallah azza wa jal is as a sadaqah nafila for you, that you are giving to the poor, so you are rewarded for that. And then the poor also get to enjoy that meal as well, that qurbani meal as well, subhanallah azza wa jal. And over and above that, you are building with the poor a relationship as well, which is beautiful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would form a bond with the poor communities. They would be close to beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved them, they loved him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose to stay among those who were poor. They were fuqara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved that. He stayed among the fuqara. So alhamdulillah, by you going out to them, you're not calling them to you that please come here and take your parcel. No, I'm going out to the poor people. I'm giving them a parcel of meat and they are forming a bond with me. I'm forming a bond with them. They will enjoy of this ni'mah as well. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, I become fortunate, or we become fortunate, that we have now formed a bond with the poor that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved very much.
Subhanallah. And Sayyidi, if one person decides that, you know what, I'm going to keep all to myself.
Right. If someone says that, okay, I will keep all of the meat for myself, I'll eat it myself and with my family, that too is not a problem. What was mentioned now was just the recommended distribution. If someone decides that I will keep all for myself, mashallah, there is no sin in that and your qurbani is still valid. If you choose that I will give all to my family or I will give all to the poor, that is also beautiful, mashallah, there is no problem. If you wish to give all to the poor, alhamdulillah, that is good as well. However, it is also advisable that we should partake in some part of the qurbani animal. We're keeping the spirit alive, alhamdulillah, and acting upon the qurbani. Part of that qurbani spirit is that you also partake in it as well. So partake, let the families partake as well, let your family members partake in it, and let the poor partake in it as well. That is the mustahab way, that is the beautiful way of distribution.
If I may just jump in there, regarding the duration that the meat can be kept, must it be finished within Dhul Hijjah? And also some people have this understanding that it's one animal per family, or instead of per family unit.
Okay, actually, there's two questions here Monasa brought up, and these are actually both misconceptions within our communities. Mm-hmm. Number one is that people think that you can keep the meat for Dhul Hijjah, or you can eat the meat in Dhul Hijjah, and the moment Muharram comes in, then you can no longer eat the meat of Qurbani. This is clearly incorrect. This is incorrect. The meat of Qurbani can be eaten throughout the year. In the month of Muharram, Safar, Rabi'ul Awwal, all the way.
So there's no expiry date.
There is no expiry date. Of course, as long as the meat is still good, then the meat can be eaten at any point. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And then with regards to how many Qurbanis per family should we do? Is it one family, one Qurbani, two families, two Qurbanis? Actually, it's one Qurbani per person, not per family. If Qurbani becomes wajib, it becomes wajib upon a person, not upon a family. Within one family, if you have five family members, it's possible that Qurbani is wajib on two people or on three people. So in that case, one Qurbani is not going to suffice. You would have to have one Qurbani animal per person upon whom Qurbani is wajib. So if there are three Qurbanis that are wajib, then three Qurbani animals. Or if we choose to slaughter a larger animal instead, then you can have one share per person. For example, if someone, Mawlana Sahib mentioned, of the sacrificing of a camel. So in a camel, there are seven shares, mashallah. So three people that are doing Qurbani can have one share each in that larger animal.
Not to throw you a curveball,
no problem.
If somebody says, you know, last year I did my qurbani, so this year I'll do for my mother, my father, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So is this valid?
Absolutely beautiful. That last year I did my qurbani, this year I want to do for my mother, my father, Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the three qurbanis you want to do, it is beautiful. It's wonderful. However, your qurbani will still be wajib. It will still be necessary upon us to do qurbani. So if qurbani becomes necessary upon you, one qurbani has to be done for ourselves. Now, how often is that necessary? Every year. At every Eid al-Adha, that qurbani will be necessary. So after you've done your one qurbani, now if you can, you do for Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, and you can do for your mother, and you can do for your father, and you can do as many as you wish. And there's another beautiful thing that some people don't have the ability to do so many qurbanis or so sacrificing so many animals. So you sacrifice, even on the one animal that you've sacrificed, you will attain thawab. even in the one animal that you sacrifice, you will attain thawab. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant that thawab to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can get thawab there too. But the wonderful trend of sacrificing an animal for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's isal al-thawab, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. That was actually the practice of certain ashab. Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada radiyallahu ta'ala an, would do a qurbani for Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, even here in South Africa, we proudly say that to this day, thousands of people in South Africa and around the world are doing qurbanis. With their own qurbanis, they are doing their qurbani separately, their personal qurbani, and they are doing qurbani upon the name of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the thawab of the beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah azza wa jalla accept it of them, accept it of us too. Amen.
He did for us, subhanallah. Yes. He did on behalf of us. Yes. We weren't even there, subhanallah, and he remembered us. So yes, alhamdulillah, now that we are capable and we have gotten the means, alhamdulillah, and the resources Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, then just by all means do qurbanis in the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. But don't forget your qurbani. Your qurbani is not like hajj, once in a lifetime, subhanallah. So don't confuse it with hajj, but qurbani is wajib every year if you are sahib nisab and you've got the means, alhamdulillah. If the criteria, alhamdulillah, fits you. And now it is time that we go for a short break, inshallah azza wa jal, and we listen to a beautiful Madani Pool and Nasiha by the Mballigh of Dawat Islami until we return. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jo janwar charta hai chutta, to wo ghas khench khench ke, noch noch ke khata hai. Uske jo doodh ke daant hai na agle, ye jaldi gir jate hai. اور سال بھر سے پہلے ہی دو دانت وہ دے دیتا ہے تو یوں وہ قربانی کے لائق نہیں ہوتا ہوتا دو دانت کا ہے اور جو بندھا ہوا ہوتا ہے پکی پکائی کھاتا ہے نوچنے کے لیے جانا نہیں پڑتا اس کو آپ کمائی نہیں کھاتا باپ کمائی کھا رہا ہے تو اس کے دانت جلدی نہیں نکلتے ایک سال سے اوپر بھی دو دو مہینے وغیرہ بھی ہو جاتے ہیں اس کے وہ نہیں نکلتے یہی حال بڑے جانور کا بھی ہے کہ وہ اس طرح ٹائم لیتے ہیں تو اب اگر وہ ایک سال کا کنفرم ہو گیا ہے کوئی مسلمان کہہ رہا ہے جس کی بات پر اپنے بھروسہ ہو رہا ہے کوئی دانت اس کے نہیں آئے دو لیکن مجھے پتہ ہے کہ فلاں تاریخ کو یہ پیدا ہوا اور فلاں تاریخ کو سال ہو گیا ہے اور اب یہ اتنے دن اس کے اوپر ہو گئے بالفرض وہ کہتا ہے تو اگر اس کا اعتماد ہے کہ وہ آدمی صحیح ہے کہنے والا تو پھر یہ کہ وہ سال بھر کا سمجھ کر اس کو لیا جا سکتا ہے اسی طرح وہ دو دانت والے بھی تو مسئلہ ہے نا اگر وہ چرتے تو ہیں جانور اور سال بھر سے پہلے ہی دو دانت نکال دیے تو دو دانت دے کر ہم تو خوش ہو کر لے لیں گے لیکن ہے تو نہیں سال بھر کا تو یوں پیچیدگی بہت ہے اس میں اس لیے بہتر اور احتیاط کی رائے یہ کہ چار دانت والا لیا جائے چار دانت کو یہ ریتے سے جو رگڑتے ہیں نا یہ ان کو رگڑتے ہیں جو چار یا چھ دانت کے ہو جاتے ہیں نا ریتے سے رگڑ کر یہ چھوٹا کر کے بڑے جو دانت ہوتے ہیں نا اس کو نمایاں رکھتے ہیں تو آدمی سمجھے کہ دو دانت کا ہے کہ عوام کی تو آپ مطلب بس جو کھوپڑی میں بیٹھ گیا ان کے سمے میں دو ہی دانت آتے ہیں چار نہیں آتے یہ دو دانت کا اس لیے یہ ان کو دھوکے دیتے ہیں کہ دو دانت کا الگ ہے بہت زیادہ بہتر تھا چار دانت والا دیکھیے دو دانت کا یہ اس طرح لیتے ہیں یہ دھوکہ دیا یہ گناہ گار ہے اس نے دھوکہ دیا چار دانت کو دو دانت کر دیے لیکن قربانی ہو جائے گی کیونکہ یہ سال بھر کا ہو گیا شرائط پوری اور کوئی اس میں وہ عیب نہیں ہے جس سے قربانی نہ ہو اس طرح کی مطلب صورتیں ہیں تو اس میں تو سمجھ میں یہ آتا ہے کہ احتیاط در احتیاط کہ اگر جگہ ہے گنجائش ہے تو اپنا بکرا پالے آدمی سارا سال اس کی خدمت کرے اس کا بھی ثواب کمائے اور قربان کر دے کیونکہ محبت بہت ہو جائے ہوتی ہے جانوروں سے بھی محبت ہو جاتی ہے پیچھے پیچھے بھاگ کر آئے گا اور سر رگڑے گا اور دوڑے گا اور یوں اچھلے گا اب اتنا اچھل کود کرنے والا بیٹے کی طرح پالتے ہیں لوگ اگر مبالغہ کروں تو اب اس کو رائے خدا میں قربان کرنے کا موقع آیا اس کا خون بعد میں نکلے گا اس کے آنسو پہلے نکل آئیں گے محبت میں یہ قربانی جو ہے نا مٹھا مدینہ یہ اصل قربانی ہے ہم لوگ بھی اپنی طرف سے کرتے ہیں قربانیاں یہ اصل قربانی ہے کہ جو نفس پر گراں گزرے برڈن پڑے اور اس میں اللہ کا حکم ہے خلاص قربان
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to you viewers as we are, alhamdulillah, moving more towards the conclusion of our today's episode and program. Let's inshallah azza wa jal discuss a few vital aspects of our qurbani, alhamdulillah. One is the thinking behind qurbani and the sacrifice, and that should be submission to the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah azza wa jal. And this trait, Sayyidi, was in ample quantity, or I should say in ample volume, in our pious predecessors when it came to sacrificing themselves and submitting themselves to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the command of Allah azza wa jal.
Throughout history, we find this. And this is one of the notable features, because a Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a Muslim. And I should ask myself, that am I following in the footsteps of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, as, of course not as them, but in their footsteps, as they submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they passed the test. Am I passing whatever test Allah has given me in my life? Sometimes you feel, there's a nice saying, sometimes you feel like you've been pushed down into the dirt, into the sand. You are buried. And you know, you don't find any way out. So that would be a negative mind. But positive mind is that you are being planted so you can grow to greater heights. So submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is one of the key features we learn from the sacrifices of our pious predecessors.
Subhanallah, Sayyidi, mashallah. What a beautiful analogy you have come up with. And we should actually look at it in this light. Yes, that we have been put there so we could grow, inshallah, azza wa jal, by humiliating ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our status can rise in the court of Allah azza wa jal. Because the more humble a person is, the more Allah Azza wa Jal grants that person height, subhanallah. I remember there was a poet in the time of Sayyidina Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, his name was Farzuq. And he made an announcement in the middle of hundreds of people. There was a gathering and he made this announcement, public announcement. He said, today, the worst of people and the best of people are gathered in front of you. So people asked, who is the worst of people you are referring to? I said, that's myself. And then people asked, do you refer to as the best of people who are alive? Said Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And he said, when this person passed away and he reached the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people saw him in the dream and asked him, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ, how Allah Azza wa Jal treated you? And he said that he had forgiven me the very same time I had regarded myself as the worst of creation. Subhanallah. So alhamdulillah, if you can sacrifice yourself and become nobody for the sake of Allah, you'll become somebody, inshallah, azza wa jal, in the court of Allah, azza wa jal. So, mashallah, beautiful analogy Munasab has presented with regards to one's submission in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidi. And mashallah, with regards to the qurbani, we also know that this qurbani is not only for the animal species, but the sense of qurbani should be, the thought behind our minds should be that I am doing this qurbani for the sake of Allah. When I am putting the knife through the neck of the qurbani animal, I am also putting a knife through my nafs. If there is anything comes between me and Allah, and if this is the nafs, then inshallah azza wa jal, I am performing the sacrifice of my nafs, my ego, my greed, whatever it may be, the inner diseases that I have, the spiritual diseases that I have, inshallah azza wa jal, I will try to get rid of it.
Subhanallah azza wa jal, yes, most definitely, that whatever is getting in your way from you reaching and attaining the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, we are removing that as well. This is part of our sacrifice, and this is part of that which we are aiming for and we are heading for, part of our purpose within our qurbani, alhamdulillah. And when this qurbani is being performed as well, then if we see that our close family members are performing that qurbani, alhamdulillah, encourage it. We look towards Sayyida Hajara radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the mother of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And when shaitan came to her and told her that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is going to sacrifice your son, and when shaitan came to her and told her that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is going to sacrifice your son, and when she realized and knew that it's by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, she did not get in the way. In fact, she was pleased that the sacrifice is taking place. So if family members too are sacrificing, then be pleased with it and encourage it. And if there are family members who can sacrifice but they are not sacrificing, then this qurbani is also an opportunity for us to remind them that if you haven't done your sacrifice and you can sacrifice, then please do make your sacrifice as well. So encourage sacrifice. If you have family, friends, neighbors, etc. that are partaking in the sacrifice, don't become a hindrance in the way of the sacrifice, trying to stop them from doing the sacrifice. No, encourage it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. However, stay within the laws of Sharia, stay within the laws of your country. Also, when you are doing your sacrifice, when we are doing our sacrifices, we should pay attention to the huquq, to the rights of other people as well. We are not to override someone else's haq, override someone else's rights, and go against the law of our land and so on. No. In keeping with the laws of your land, in keeping with every person's haq, make your sacrifice. It's not that now we are to make our sacrifice, so everyone just should understand. No. Pay attention to everyone, understand their rights as well. Don't put anyone else in any inconvenience. Don't place anyone else in any difficulty. Perform your sacrifice in a pure, a beautiful, a noble way. And inshallah azza wa jal, it's our dua as well that your sacrifice in this beautiful way will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen, bijahin nabi, ameen, jazakallah sayyidi. MashaAllah for participating in this special Eid transmission on Madani channel, mashallah, azza wa jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant you all the barakats of this Eid and many other Eids to come, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Ameen, bijahin nabi, ameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our viewers out there prosperous and accept their qurbani wholeheartedly. Ameen, bijahin nabi, ameen, mashallah. And now it is time that we take your leave, inshallah, azza wa jalla, and tomorrow we are going to come back on your screen on Madani channel, inshallah azza wa jal, discussing another beautiful topic of discussion on Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Hajj journey complete, sacrifice marks the day. Eid al-Adha spread, lights the believer's way. Eid al-Adha spread, lights the believer's way.